You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
God, I do ask now that you would please magnify yourself. And Lord, you know that the structure of this message may be a little different than how I would normally preach, but I pray that it's exactly what you would want. I pray that our eyes would be focused on you, that we would realize who you are, what you are. If there are any in this room that are not saved, that do not know you as Savior, I pray that this morning, God, you would draw them unto yourself. I thank you for what we've already heard through the songs and the choir, as we've sung together as a church family. I pray that, God, our lives, our church, our families, each one of us, dear Lord, would truly seek to live to magnify you is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Would you turn with me to John in chapter number 1, where those life-changing and life-giving words are found? The fourth gospel of the New Testament, John's gospel, the gospel according to John, chapter number 1. I bring you the fourth message in our five-part series on the Word. We've looked at the power of the Word, the product of the Word. Last week, the purpose of the Word from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse of the entire chapter of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And this morning, we look at the person of the Word. John in chapter number 1, follow along, please, if you will, in Scripture. If you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, we invite you to grab one there out of the pew rack in front of you. And if for any reason, any time we ever turn to a book of the Bible, don't ever be embarrassed to need to look there at the front of your Bible, the table of contents, to find where that book may be found. John in chapter number 1, would you follow along with me, beginning in verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word. And what are those next two words? The Word was with God. And the next two words, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We see here in verses 1 through 13 a description of a person. And it gives them a lot of different names. It says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. So he was with God there in the beginning when all of this started. Genesis 1 verse 1. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then it goes on to list him as the light. It goes on to list him as life. And it says he was that life that bringeth light to everyone that cometh into the world. And he was that light in the darkness. And who is he talking about? It says that John came to bear witness of that light. Verse number 14, would you read verse 14 aloud with me? Ready? Begin. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's given us some more insight into who this is. He was with God and he was God. He was had the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And then just to make sure that we understand exactly who it was, verse number 17, the Bible tells us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. What did he say in verse 14? The Word, whoever this was full of grace and truth. But grace and truth came by who, church? Came by Jesus Christ. Who did it come by? The person of the Word, what we would call the living Word. And when you open the pages of the Bible, you open the heart and the mind of God. When you read the words of the Bible, it's like you're literally hearing the words of Jesus Christ. And from the Gospels, we can hear the words that He spoke as He walked this earth. And the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus Himself said in John in chapter number 5, verse number 39, He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The Bible, that Jesus, and I don't know how you comprehend all of this. My mind can't quite comprehend all of the eternality of God, but Jesus was not just the Son of God, although He was the Son of God, but He was part of the triune God, the Trinity. Jesus was God, is God, forever will be God, the deity of Jesus Christ. And He calls, one of the things He says was, He is the Word. And when we read the words of God, we're reading the heart and the mind of Christ. And I see here the person of the Word. What is the whole? We've been studying, if you've been coming on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, tonight will be our fourth installment in what will probably be a 68-week or 68-lesson series as we're journeying through the Word, taking one book of the Bible per message. So last Sunday night, we took 50 chapters of Genesis, and we preached 50 chapters of Genesis. And then on Wednesday night, I preached 40 chapters of Exodus and gave us the overview of that book. Tonight, we'll be in Leviticus, and I can't wait to share with you some of what God has shared and shown me this week and in the previous weeks as I've studied for this series. But what are we finding in Genesis? We're finding that Christ is all through Genesis. And what are we finding in Exodus? We're finding that Exodus isn't just a story about Moses delivering his people. We're finding that Jesus Christ is all through Exodus. And you'll find tonight that we see Jesus Christ in Leviticus and in Numbers. And when we open the book of the Word of God, when we open the book of the Bible, every book speaks of Christ. It points to Christ. It testifies of Christ. It teaches us of Christ. Jesus Christ is the person of the Word. We see here in this passage, number one, that He's our Creator. Do you see it there in verse number 3? All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible tells us He said, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Jesus Christ was there at creation, and not only was He there, He was the Creator. John told us in his Gospel, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is eternal. I talked about this a few weeks ago, but there are very few religions that will refute the existence of Jesus Christ. But there are many that will refute the deity of Jesus Christ. Oh, they don't mind if we believe that Jesus was a good man. And they don't mind if we believe that Jesus walked this earth and did some good things. And they don't mind if we believe that Jesus was a prophet. Or they don't mind if we believe that Jesus was a created being by God the Father. They don't mind if we, but they don't want us to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. They don't want us to believe that Jesus is the one that can change a life and that Jesus was and is our Creator. The Bible tells us in Colossians, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son," that's Jesus Christ, "in whom," Jesus, "we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." May I say to you this morning, I don't know what you brought with you into this auditorium and what sins you have in your life and what you've done in your past, but there is only one place that you and I can find forgiveness of sins, and it is in our Creator, Jesus Christ. He said, "who is the image of the invisible God," notice this, "the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, the first place." God doesn't want second place in your life. He doesn't want third place in your marriage. He doesn't want fourth place in your schedule. He doesn't want fifth place in your budget, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, I like this, oh, I like this part. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. What does John teach us? What does Paul teach us in his letter to the Colossian Christians? He teaches us that Jesus, the person of the Word, is our Creator. He is the living Word. Scofield said, in him are embodied all the treasures of the divine wisdom, the collective thought of God. But then we see, secondly, in Colossians, what we just read, and in this passage, not only is he our Creator, but the person of the Word is our Redeemer. Notice verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse number 9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But would you read verse number 12 aloud with me this morning? Ready, begin. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, notice what he says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's only one way to heaven for you and for me, and it's Jesus, our Redeemer, the person of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. That's the theme for our church in 2018. And what is the Word all about? It's all about Jesus Christ, our Creator and our Redeemer. Jesus, the Word, is our Redeemer, our Savior, our Rescuer. Isn't that what Paul said in that verse that we read earlier in Colossians? He said, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. He paid the penalty so that you could spend eternity in heaven. He paid the penalty so that you could have forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. He loved you so much that not only did he create you, but then when we walked away from him, when we left him, he came back to buy us back, to redeem us, to forgive us of our sins. Revelation chapter 19 says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, the choir sang about that this morning, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what, church? His name is called the Word of God. Who is that talking about? Jesus Christ. Why was his vesture dipped in blood? His vesture was dipped in blood. Turn in John in chapter 1 where we're at. Look at verse number 29. Notice what it says in verse number 29. John 1, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. To understand that picture and that statement, if you'll come back tonight, I think you'll understand it in a way maybe you've never understood it before. There's some beautiful pictures in the book of Leviticus about what it was that would take away sins, and we're going to break some of that down this evening. But what his vesture was dipped in blood. Why? Because he was that Lamb of God. You see, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, they had to bring an offering once a year, and they would come to the Day of Atonement, and once a year they would have two goats that would go, and I don't want to talk too much about my message from tonight, but they would have two goats that would be sacrificed, and at other times they would have offerings that they would bring, and to have their sins forgiven in the Old Testament, life had to be taken, but it was the life of an animal. And Jesus came as that spotless lamb, that one-time sacrifice. He came to shed his blood for you and for me. He died upon the cross. And what did John say about the Word of God, the living Word? He said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Have your sins been taken away? Well, I'm not talking about living in sinless perfection. None of us will do that until we get to heaven. But have your sins been forgiven? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a day, a time, and a place in your life when you've placed your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation? For me, that was May 22nd, 1988. I walked into a church much like this that preached the same gospel that I'm preaching today. And for the first time in my life as a 9-year-old boy, I heard the good news that there was a Lamb, the Word, that came to redeem me. that came to rescue me, that came to forgive my sins, that came to give me eternal life, to take me to heaven. Why was his vesture dipped in blood? Because it goes back to the Old Testament. We have to understand that Jesus Christ, the Word, our rescuer, our redeemer, he is that promised redeemer that is all through the Old Testament. Jesus is the second Adam who in the Garden of Gethsemane chose obedience to the Father, whereas the first Adam in his garden chose disobedience. He is that Abel, that better Abel, who offered a pleasing sacrifice once and for all for his people. He is pictured, Jesus is, in Abraham as he brought about a great nation of every kindred and tribe and tongue, the true family of God. In Christ, we are all the spiritual seed of Abraham. He is that ark that spared, that calmly guides his people through the poured out judgment of the Father, protecting us from death and safely delivering us to the dry ground of eternal life. He's pictured in that ark in the story of Noah and the ark. He is our ark of the covenant where we can see and know and dwell in the presence of Almighty God. Jesus Christ. Christ, the Word, made all of that possible. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It is through him and only him that we are reconciled to the Father. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that is Jesus who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. John 1 tells us that the Word, the living Word, Jesus is our Creator, but he's our Redeemer. He came to give us his righteousness. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when God looks at you, do you know what he sees? He sees the righteousness of Christ. There is nothing that you can do today that will make God love you any more, and there is nothing that you can do today that will make God love you any less if you have accepted the gift and the righteousness of Christ as your Redeemer. Now, there are things that we can do in our lives that can please or displease our Heavenly Father, but our acceptance, our identity, our level of love, that love relationship is not based upon our actions. It's based upon the righteousness of God. He is that final sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, purchasing our redemption and paying for our sins. Jesus, the Word, is that brazen serpent in our wilderness that you and I can look to find lasting healing from the otherwise incurable snake bite of sin. He is our city of refuge where we can run when we have messed up, when we are hated and hunted. As criminals and outcasts, we can find healing, love, and forgiveness. Jesus Christ, the Word, our Redeemer. He is that lamb caught in the thicket, taking our place as Isaac when the Father should have sacrificed us upon the altar. He is our substitution, our sacrifice, our perfect offering. He is our Joseph being sold by his brothers for a few pieces of silver, misunderstood, lied about, falsely accused, unjustly punished, but exalted to a position of great power and authority by the Father so that he might save us alive in our time of famine and impending death. Philippians 2 tells us, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is that Passover lamb for his people suffering in Egypt, a picture of the world. That Passover lamb not having a single bone broken, shedding his blood to cover the doorposts of our lives so that you and I will not know death. Isaiah 53 prophesied, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Remember that verse if you come back to church tonight. You see in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement what they would do, and when they would make sacrifices with those animals, they would put their hand on the forehead of that animal, and it was a picture that they were laying their sin upon that animal, and then the animal would be sacrificed. And what happened? The Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. That sin that the high priest on the Day of Atonement would put his hand there, signifying that the sins of all the people were being laid upon that scapegoat. And then it was sent out into the wilderness, never to be seen again. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Oh yes, he is that Passover lamb. He is that final offering on the Day of Atonement. They had to do it every year. year, but you and I only have to do it once, accepting that free gift of salvation. He is our Moses, the miraculous Redeemer, sent to bring us out of our bondage and affliction, leading us out of our slavery and into a family relationship as a son of Almighty God in the promised land He has prepared for us. He is our scapegoat and our sin offering, our tabernacle, our temple, the tree of life, the trespass offering. He is our advocate, our deliverer, our great high priest, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Lord of all, the Messiah, our mediator, our hope, our peace, our risen Lord, our rock, the resurrection, the door, the true vine, the victorious one. When you read that verse in John in chapter number 1, He is the Word. That is what it's talking about, the person of the Word. Every story you read in God's Word, it's pointing to in the Old Testament a coming Messiah, a coming Savior, a coming Redeemer that would make it so that we didn't have to come every day or every week or every month or every year for our sins to be forgiven. Oh no, the person of the Word, He came once and for all to pay your sin penalty and mine. And when you read that, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was our Creator. He was our Redeemer. I could go on, but we find that in the Bible, he said of Himself, He is our provider. He said, I am the bread of life. He is our protection. He said, I am the good shepherd. He is our guide. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. He is our rescuer. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is our comfort, Emmanuel, God with us. He is our friend. Oh, I like the songwriter said, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. The Bible says, and there, a greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friend. What is he? He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the Word. And you know what you'll find as you read God's Word? He is the living Word. But as you read the Word of God, you know what you'll find? You'll find redemption. You'll find provision for your spiritual life. You'll find guidance for your life. You'll find rescue. You'll find comfort. You'll find companionship. God's Word, the person of the Word, Jesus Christ, He gives us all of that when we open the pages of Scripture. So do you know Him? Do you know His Word? Do you know Jesus, the Word? Do you know the person of the Word? He is what you and I need in our lives, in our families, in our careers. The songwriter said, more about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. And then, I like this verse, more about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord. When you open God's Word, you're not reading just an old, outdated history book. You're talking and you're hearing from, and you can talk to and commune with the God of the universe, the Creator of the universe. This is God's love letter to you. It has every truth and every principle that you need to guide your life. Don't come to God's Word as it's just some empty, dead book. Oh no, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. The Word of God is powerful. And when you open this, you get to hear from the Word. You get to hear from Jesus Himself. You get to hear His truth and His love and His correction. You get to hear what He likes and what He doesn't like. You get to hear what is pleasing to Him and what is displeasing to Him. You get to hear how He wants you to live in your roles in life. More about Jesus in His Word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. This morning, no illustrations, no jokes, no personal stories, no videos, no pictures, just Jesus. A few moments for us this morning to focus on Him, to remember who He is, what He's done, and to remind ourselves that our great need in 2018 is more of Him, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How's your relationship with the Word? Do you know Christ as Savior? Has there been a point, a day, a place, and a time in your life when you accepted Him for forgiveness of sins, that Lamb which taketh away the sins of the world? If not, slip out in just a moment during our invitation. Let somebody show you how you can know for sure when you die you're going to heaven. If you do know Him as Savior, how's your relationship with the person of the Word? This book is not dead. It's alive. I don't mean that spooky. I mean God has given it great power to speak to us Yes, he's given us his Holy Spirit, but God's word will teach you, it will correct you, it will chasten you, it will discipline you, it will encourage you, it will love you. God's word will do all of those things. How's your relationship with the word? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. God, I thank you for the opportunity to open your word this morning. Lord, just some simple thoughts to remind us of the person of the word as we introduce this theme that I pray we'll carry with us. God, I pray that if there be any here this morning that do not know you as Savior, that today they would begin a relationship with the Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ. I pray for those of us that do know you as Savior, that God, we would understand that this thing of going to church and being a Christian is not just about a bunch of religious rituals, but God, it's a relationship with the living Word. It's a relationship with you and with Jesus Christ. It's a relationship with your Word that you've given to us in prayer and in reading and in Bible study and in witness and in service. God, help us to get a picture of what it really means to be Christians. God, help us not just to become religious Pharisees or religious people of our day but believe all the words of the word, but have no relationship with the word. God, that was the danger as Jesus walked this earth. There were many that knew the words of the word, but they didn't know the word. Help us, dear God, to know you and your word. Help us to love you and your word. Help us to live for you and by your word is my prayer. Their heads bowed and our eyes closed. In a moment, we'll stand together and our service is almost done. A little shorter than normal, a little different message than normal, but just some time to share some scripture, to point out some truths about the person of the word. And maybe this morning, in a moment, when the piano plays and we stand together, folks may slide out and come to the altar. Maybe there's a special need in your life you'd like to pray about. Maybe your relationship with the word is not what it should be, and you want to ask God to help you to see God's word and his son for what they really are in your life and to build that relationship. And maybe there are some sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. There's never been a time and place in your life when you accepted Christ as Savior. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, before we stand, may I just ask you, you'd say, Pastor Thompson, that's me. You talked about the fact that he came to take away all of our sins. There's never been a time and place when I placed my faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. I don't know for sure if I die that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'd like to pray with you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. Would you slip your hand up? Pastor, pray with me. I don't know for sure if I died that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Please pray with me. I have some doubts about my eternal destiny, but I'd like to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Pastor, pray for me. I'd love to pray with you about that need. Is there anybody that would slip their hand up and then slip it back down? Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. The piano plays. Let's stand together as God has spoken to your heart about a relationship with the Word.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.